It's my great pleasure to welcome Bonnie Sue Hitchcock as a call-in interview. Just a few days now, we can say that, before your arrival in Palmer, Alaska. Welcome, Bonnie Sue.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
So you're coming to Palmer, Alaska. Have you been to Palmer before?
I have, many times. I played basketball against the Palmer Moose when I was going to Diamond in the 80s.
Oh, the 80s. I remember the 80s. Yes, we play music from the 80s sometimes and people applaud. Yes. Well, back in the 80s, that's an interesting time because actually I had, to give you a reference, I have four children. They all graduated from Palmer High, and they were playing various sports in the 80s. But they didn't play.
Rivals.
Yes, but they didn't play. They didn't play basketball. They played volleyball. And they did a lot of track, high jumping, pole vaulting, even in those days.
Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah,
big, wow.
Yeah. But so I'm familiar with the 80s. I have some sense of what you faced by coming here. But you're coming back now, not to play basketball, but to appear at a dinner that has seen other people arrive as authors, and do and I can say that I will be there. So I'll be there to listen to you at Turkey Red, and that's February 25th. But you've just done a new book, and that's what we're really talking about.
I'm really excited to come to Palmer and speak with Ayo and Ivy. I've never done an author dinner before, so that will be a first for me.
Okay, and do you know Ayo or her work?
I love Ayo's work. I'm a huge fan, so I'll just be gushing about her at this dinner, I'm sure. I'll try to hold it together like a fan stalker. I love The Snow Child. I think she's amazing, and I'm just... It's actually a dream come true for me to be able to come to Palmer and meet her and to talk about my book as well. She pre-read my book. The publishers asked her if she would, and then she blurbed it for me, which was also just... They said, if you could have anyone blurb your book, who would it be? And it said Ayo and Ivy.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right.
So don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
That's quite true. So tell us the title of the book.
Okay, the book is called The Smell of Other People's Houses.
And and there's usually a pause there.
That's an
interesting title. How did that come about?
Yeah, it was really kind of a process. A friend and I got together, and we do free writes and things, and she teaches writing in Colorado, and she throws out prompts all the time, and she threw out this prompt, let's write about the smell of other people's houses. And so I did, and it was like a 20-minute free write, and then that turned into like a fast fiction piece that I sent off to a contest in Santa Fe for women writers, flash fiction. And it won, and then I turned it into just a chapter in my book. I was working on this book as a creative thesis in my MFA program that I did at Hamline University, which is a MFA in writing for children and young adults. I really wanted to write for teens. I've always wanted to write for teens. So it started as a free write, turned into a chapter, and then, eventually became the title of the book. It was a really long process till it got there, but that's sort of the trajectory of it.
Well, very good. Very good. And when was this? How long? That's always the question. How long did it take you to do this book from?
Right. Well, it originally took me 6 months from when I started. And it originally was going to be a collection of short stories that were linked. And after it sold to the editor, they, through the revision process, it became more of a narrative and a novel, with four main characters whose lives are linked. So it feels a little bit like a short, like still short stories, I hope. That's my intent anyway. But it is a novel with a narrative arc now. And so once it sold, it took me 2 years to revise it and for it to become what it is now. So it's kind of a long process, actually.
Okay. All right. And without giving away too much, perhaps, that is mm-hmm. even a concern. tell us a little bit more about the book itself.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm third generation Alaskan. I was born in Fairbanks. My mom was born in Fairbanks, and my grandma was born in Canada and, you know, came to Fairbanks when she was a child. So it's set in Fairbanks mainly. A couple of the main characters' lives take place in Fairbanks, and it's really a semi-autobiographical fiction novel about growing up in Fairbanks just after statehood. So it starts out in 1959, but most of the novel actually takes place 11 years later in 1970. So even going farther back than the 80s, Mike.
Oh.
1970.
Oh. I can remember those years, too.
So. I bet you do remember the 70s, too. I'm not trying to date you.
No, thank you.
But so it follows these four characters. Two of the stories actually take place in Southeast Alaska, and the other two stories take place in the interior. And one of those stories ends up actually traveling over to Canada and takes place near Whitehorse as well. So there's quite a lot of geographical scope to it. As well, but eventually all four characters' lives intersect and they come together at the end. So to give you a little more, like one girl, two of the families, they live in Birch Park, which is low-income housing in Fairbanks, and that's where, you know, my mom's family lived when her siblings were younger, and my grandmother. And one of the characters lives with her grandmother. Another character is Inupiaq, and she ends up moving in with an Athabascan family in Birch Park. And then in Southeast Alaska, there's a girl that fishes with her father, you know, commercial fishes, and would rather be a ballet dancer. And then there's three brothers, and their story consists of them stowing away on the Alaska Marine Highway ferry, trying to run away to Seattle.
Oh.
And they have an exciting time.
Well, all of that is enough to encourage me to want to read and take a look at that. And I'm guessing we've had, I might describe it as a resurgence, certainly a large interest in reading and writing here, particularly in the Matsu Valley. A1 Ivy's work has done that as well. And you've been preceded in the Fireside Books series by two authors who have done some extraordinary work as well. Benjamin Bush with a book, a memoir, actually, Dust to Dust. And most recently, Ernestine Hayes. And if you're familiar with her book, Blonde Indian, it is extraordinary. So we've had many people show interest. And I think you can expect an enthusiastic audience on the 25th of February.
Oh, great. Thank you. I hope so. And I think it's so exciting that there's so many Alaska writers. It seems like a really, you know, it's just a really prolific time for Alaska writers, and that's exciting as well.
Where are you calling from, and where do you call home right now?
Well, it's a funny question. I am calling from Colorado, which I guess is my home, but I moved out of Alaska 5 years ago, but still come back often to work. My partner works in Kotzebue, month on, month off.
Okay. I know that.
He's a doctor there. This was a huge mistake. We are not going to stay in the lower 48. So this was my first big attempt at living in the lower 48, and we're slowly going to make our way back home.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you are calling from Colorado. I can almost hear. I can hear that.
Yeah.
And in terms of further work, are you presently working on another book? What are you doing?
Yeah, I am working on another book, but slowly. Like, so that's about all I can say about that. And I used to work for Alaska Public Radio for many years, so I'm very familiar with radio as well. And I was the host and producer of Independent Native News, and really, when Independent Native News lost funding and the show was dropped, it was a really, you know, just a transition for me. I loved doing that show. I loved reporting on rural Alaskan issues. and native issues. And it took me a really long time to figure out what to do with myself after that. So, So the writing is kind of, I was sort of forced into it in a way. I still wanted to, you know, write about Alaska. And there were so many things I'd reported on that I felt were really important. And, you know, all of it, it's just interesting how life works out sometimes.
Absolutely. And we're tied in to a number of other stations, a long history of connection with Steve Heimel.
And I worked with Steve.
Yeah, well, I've known Stephen for a long time. I'm still awaiting his memoir to be completed. And also our station's annual meeting that comes up here in April. Lori Townsend will be our keynote speaker.
Wow, I was just going to say that I'm talking with Lori Townsend on Monday, and you beat Lori to the punch. So interview me on Monday.
Well, that's great.
I love community radio, and I was very excited. I didn't know about Palmer Free Radio, so this is Radio Free Palmer. So it's really, it was neat. I looked up your station, and I think it's amazing. You know, really good work you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And when you're here in town, we would be very happy to give you a little tour of our little spot. Our studio sits right next to Fireside Books.
I'd love it.
Yeah. You've got experience, so you can give us feedback and say, notice the things that people notice.
I don't know. I can't even find my equipment cords anymore. So
I fully understand. Well, as we finish up here, are there any last comments you'd like to share with listeners?
No, I just hope to see people in Palmer. I always love to hear from, you know, readers. And I love people tell me stories about what their houses smell like now. So that's exciting. Yeah, I never get tired of hearing that. For some reason, it's really interesting. So, I look forward to seeing anyone that wants to come out in Palmer. I think it's going to be a really great night.
Okay.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie Sue.